Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
Let's get out of business with our sermon. I want to start with a congregational reading of Scripture. So if you will, I really don't care where you're at. Would you just stand with me out of respect for the Scripture? Will you stand? And we are going to read together from Romans chapter 8, verse 35. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean Christ no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? If we are persecuted? If we are hungry? If we are destitute? If we are in danger? Even if we are threatened with death?" No, he writes. "Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced," Paul goes on, "that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Love's not canceled, y'all. Amen to that. This is God's word. You can be seated wherever you are. Thank you for standing. Now, I just want to let you know that while love's not canceled, what is canceled is the sermon series that we were in. This morning, our leadership decided to huddle. And while we love the series cost following Jesus, while Mark Moore absolutely brought the heat last week and we're so thankful for him, we think because of the cultural moment we find ourselves in, we need a shift. And we need to talk about going forward for the foreseeable future, how to be the church during a pandemic. Or more specifically, here's the question for today and the coming weeks. How do I face COVID-19 faithfully? Because here's the reality. This thing has totally disrupted our way of life. It's disrupted our mental health, our physical health, our relational health, our spiritual health. And so we want to make sure we have a plan going forward and address some of the most pressing issues that we're facing. Now, what I have found is that any hard time, not just the one we find ourselves in, but any hard time in life faces you with three distinct challenges. There's a head challenge, a heart challenge, and a hope challenge. I just want to lay those out for you and ask you, how are you going to face down the challenge? Here's the first challenge. Will you choose gratitude over despair or denial? This is the head challenge, y'all, okay? Will you choose gratitude over despair or denial? Now, I don't know if you've been on Facebook. Maybe you have. But there are many people who are choosing not to choose gratitude, but rather lean towards one of the two extremes. I've seen a lot of people go in complete and total despair mode. It's like doomsday mode, like the world's coming to the end. It's the end of the world. They're like buying up pallets of toilet paper and paper towels from the grocery store, but also posting end times prophecies on their Twitter, which, by the way, if Jesus is coming back, why you need all that toilet paper, man? Share some with me. I'm just saying. But like, have you seen this, man? Have you seen this? Now, I always think to myself, when I see folks in America posting end-time prophecies during times like this, what a privileged Western perspective. Because famine, sickness, pain, and suffering, these are things that folks have gone through generation after generation in the developing world. But now that it's happening to America, oh, it's the end of the world. Do you know any doomsday despairers? Now, on the flip side, there's also people out there who are completely denying the reality of this pandemic. I've met some of them. Just last week, I went to a Christian event. These were not Northeast Christians, okay? But I went to a Christian event. Saw a few Christian acquaintances there. And they were like, hey, Tyler, how's it going? And I'm like, well, this COVID-19 stuff's been pretty crazy at church. And one of the gentlemen who was standing there, he's a little bit older than me, looked at me and he gave me this, oh, you special little millennial look. Like, oh, how special. Pat, pat, pat. And then this is what he said to me. He said, Tyler, you know what this COVID-19 stuff is? It's yellow news. Now, I didn't know whether to be totally disgusted with the prejudicial undertones of what he said or to show him a little bit of grace, because he is, after all, my brother in Christ. So I showed him a little bit of grace and I said, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Can you tell me? And then he walked it back, but only about a half a step. He said, what I mean is that it's fake news. Now, let me go ahead and tell you, I've been in the hospitals where there are infected patients and many people quarantined off. I've got friends in the highest level of healthcare administration, the highest level of government. I've got friends across seas in Italy. And so I know for a fact it's not fake news. And here's what else I know for a fact. You know what a far better response is to all this than despair or denial? It's this biblical word called thankfulness, or we call it gratitude. And man, don't we have so much to be grateful for? You know what we can be grateful for? Next slide. We can be grateful for what we still have, right? Because come on, here's the reality, y'all. For most of us, quarantine just means working from home in your PJs and watching a little bit more Netflix. Ain't that bad. First world problems, right? But here's what else we can be grateful for. We can be grateful for what we once had, but took for granted. Some of the simple things of life, like going out and having coffee with a friend. Like hugging your son, kissing your family. Like spending time face to face with your grandpa. Like coming to a church gathering, hearing your brothers and sisters in Christ sing out the words, tasting communion. Like March Madness and Major League Baseball, come Lord Jesus. Or like an abundance of toilet paper. I mean, is anybody else struggling here? So, funny story for you. A couple of our volunteers knew that one of our partners, St. John's Homeless Center, was in need of some toilet paper and fast. So they went out and got it, and they took it downtown. And I kid you not, they told us that when they walked in with the toilet paper, the homeless men in there literally cheered. They were like, and they don't even cheer that much for food, they said. We take 150 lunches down there every weekend, but when the toilet paper showed up, they got a standing ovation. And I love that. We got something to learn from our homeless neighbors, and that's this. We can be grateful during this time, even for the small things. And that's the head challenge. What will you choose? Will you choose gratitude, or will you choose despair and denial? Here's the heart challenge. Second. Will you choose neighbor love over self-preservation? Neighbor love over self-preservation. Now, here's the reality. Suffering's inevitable. Absolutely, positively inevitable. It's gonna happen. You can't help it. There is no choice in life whether or not you face hard times. It's more or less when, how often, and how hard they hit. But here's what you do have 100% control over. How you respond to it. And that's what love is. Love is a response. Love is not a feeling. Love is a self-sacrificial action. So what will you choose? Will you choose to look at the world around us and say, to hell with you? Or will you choose to be a Matthew 22:39 Christian and live out one of Jesus' great commandments and love your neighbor? Hey, can I just tell you, that's what I love about our church, the Love the Ville Church. You guys lead with compassion. And the last week or so has absolutely proven at the core who we are. Not only are we inspiring people who are outside the church to take a second look at Jesus and consider re-engaging, but we're also inspiring lots of other brother and sister churches. It's been really cool. I've been on the phone a lot this last week or two, just coaching other churches on how they can build out a compassion plan in order to reach those around us. Over the last week, I've talked to four of the largest churches in the United States of America, and they all encouraged our church with these same words. They said, Northeast, we know of no other church who has been as creative, responsive, and compassionate as y'all during this time. Well done, church. We're leading in this. We are the cutting edge of compassion in this. Now, for those of you who have missed some of the story, let me just tell it to you real quick, because this is vital for us. I think it's two Wednesdays ago, when the governor announced that that he would like churches to shut down their gatherings. And it was that Wednesday that we came out and we told you guys, hey, on Friday evening, we're going to give you guys our final decision on what's going next. Now, the reason why we waited until Friday is because we wanted as much lead time as possible to be able to develop a weekend service plan, which is important to us. But even more important than that, we wanted to deliver to you on that Friday a full-scale community service plan, which was our number one priority in this moment. And I believe we delivered something that was awesome to you guys, and you made it 10 times more awesome by just going out and blowing away all of our expectations. Now, there were three key action steps to our compassion plan, if you have forgotten, and they're the three action steps that continue to guide us. The first is love your neighbor, love your neighbor. We wanted to start a neighboring movement. I've gotten the same text and the same call and the same email over and over and over. People continue to ask, hey, Tyler, how can I help? How can I help our church? And there's lots of ways. We've been telling you those ways. But here's the best way you can help your church. Go be the church. Go be the church in your neighborhood. Go be the church in the circles of influence that you have. Go show the self-sacrificial love of Jesus. Now, in order to help you figure out the needs that are in your circles, do you guys remember this? We actually released a graphic to you on social media and also a downloadable and printable flyer to you in order to share with your friends, share with your neighbors, put it on the doorstep of your neighborhood homes, share it on your Twitter, your Instagram, your Facebook account over and over and over again. Here's what the graphic says. It says, hey, we're here to help. Are you stuck inside? It just kind of names off some of those big challenges that people are dealing with right now. Are you stuck inside? You need someone to run errands? You need childcare, low on food, unemployed right now? I'm here to help. And we know many of you have stepped up and helped people in significant ways. But here's the cool part about it. We know that some of you can't help because of financial issues or maybe because of health issues. So underneath that, we launched what we're calling our Love the Ville resource line, which you can find at necchurch.org/COVID-19 or at the phone number right there. And on the end of that line is one of the pastors of our church ready to meet needs, to partner with you in meeting the needs of your neighbor. It's been so cool to watch stories roll in this week. Reminded of Haley's story. Haley's a single mom at our church. She started coming a few years back when her son was born in the NICU. In fact, that's where I met Haley. Hard time for her. Now, recently, Haley reached out to us and she said, hey, my grandpa's on food stamps and he's run out. It's dangerous for him to go to the grocery store to get food right now. It's dangerous for me too because of the pre-existing medical conditions of my son. Plus, I can't afford groceries for him anyways. Church, Love the Ville Church, can you help? The answer to that was easy for us. Two of our volunteers went out immediately, got the grocery list from Grandpa, got more groceries than he probably needed, and then went and delivered to him and prayed for him. And I know that sounds pretty unspectacular, but that is so spectacular, especially when you start to add up story after story after story. There's been so much love unleashed in our city. In fact, we don't know 90% of the stories, and we want to know. So would you do us a favor? Right now, after we finish this sermon up, would you go on your social media platform and share the stories of love that you've either been a recipient of or a part of giving? Stories are vision in hard times like this. They're inspiration. They're hope for the people around us. And we want you to share the hope with us so that we can share it with everyone else and continue to inspire our neighbors to unleash the love. So share your stories on social and tag Northeast Christian Church. Here's the second action step of our compassion plan. There was love your neighbor, and there's serve our partners. Serve our partners. Now, if you guys know, we have several significant partnerships with local schools, with community centers, with nonprofits who are in some of the most underserved parts of our city. And when all this went down, we picked up the phone and we called them up and we're like, hey, how can we help? And the same need came from almost all of our partners. Everybody was worried about food insecurity. So we came up with a two-phase food insecurity plan. The first phase was collecting 15,000 snack packs. And I promise you, guys, we thought 15,000 was like a crazy big goal. The first number that was thrown out was 3,000. Can we do it? And they were like, let's just throw out 15,000 and see just how nuts our people are. Apparently, we don't have very big vision, though, because in 72 hours, y'all donated over 24,000 snack packs. That was over 100,000 items donated in 72 hours. What's wrong with you people? I don't know what's wrong with you, but I love it. Immediately when we got it, we started to distribute it out. So we know that many of these snack packs are already in the hands of kids in our community. We got stories back of a bus driver who needed a little bit of extra food during this time, who we were able to give snack packs to. We got a story back of a single mom who got laid off from the restaurant she was a waitress at, who got some snack packs in order to help her and her family get food. Just one story after the other. Now, we're in phase two, though, currently of our food insecurity plan. Pause real quick. Some of you guys are like, Tyler, is this a sermon right now? Because it sounds more to me like there's a general on stage giving marching orders to the troops. Exactly. We'll get to the sermon in a second. Just stay with me here, all right? So we're in phase two. In phase two of the food insecurity plan. Right now, we're collecting as many canned meals as you can probably bring in. We're collecting canned meats, canned proteins, canned pasta, soups. We're collecting peanut butter. And if you got any of those things, we want you to bring them in and put them in the bins outside of the front doors of our adult auditorium here. Here's why. We're thinking about food insecurity now, 5, 6, 10 weeks down the road. And cans don't go bad. Right. So we need you to drop off cans. Don't go raid the grocery store, all right? But when you go to the grocery store, be safe, grab some extra cans, drop them off here on your way home. And we'll be able to continue to distribute them. Literally, you saw it at the beginning of the service. We've converted our adult auditorium lobby into a food pantry, which I kind of like better than, I don't know, kind of like it better than what we used to use it for. Pretty cool out there right now. Now, here's the third head to our compassion plan. Pray, 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 and pray some more. We've launched a 24/7 prayer movement. If you guys haven't seen that, get on our necchurch.org COVID-19 page and check out the prayer movement. We have committed to praying every minute of the day, starting this past Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at midnight, all the way to Easter now. So think about that. For days, as I stand on this stage and speak to you, for days, our people have been praying. As I speak right now, there is someone from our church praying for you, praying for me, praying for our church, praying for this city, praying that we would rise up and be the body of Jesus, his hands and feet, and also praying that God would heal what ails our city. I think that's powerful, and part of me wonders why we haven't been doing this forever. Thank you, church, for stepping up to that. Now, that's a corporate prayer challenge, but I want to give you an individual prayer challenge. I want you to call your people. Call your people and pray for them. This is one thing our staff took upon ourselves. Beginning of last week, we just decided that everyone in our ministry areas, all the phone numbers we have in our phone book, we were going to call. So we spent a lot of time on the phone this week, but it's been a lot of fun talking to many of you. If you haven't got a call, we either got the wrong number for you or check your voicemail for Pete's sake. We started last weekend with the most vulnerable and elderly people in our church. I got to talk to many of them on the phone. The good news, y'all, if you're wondering how people in our church are doing, most people are fine. They're fine. But even though they're fine, they felt the love of someone reaching out and saying, how can I help you? And how can I pray for you? One of the founding women of our church wrote this note to us on Facebook. She's been a part of Northeast Christian Church for like 40 plus years now. And she said, we got a call this morning from our church. Hear the pride in that, our church, Northeast Christian Church, telling us that if we need anything in the next few weeks, to just call. They have a group of young people who will graciously deliver whatever we need. And we are very grateful for our Love the Ville Church, who is viewing this crisis as an opportunity to reach out and serve not only the elderly in our church, but also those in our community. Thanks, Northeast Christian. And I echo that. Thanks, Northeast. Call your people. Okay, check this out. Somebody called me from our staff this week. They're like, hey, Tyler, you're a community group leader and you're on our list. How are you? How can I pray for you? And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you could pray for me. And I got to spend some time talking to one of our staff on the phone. So call your people and pray for them. Now, head challenge, heart challenge. Here's the hope challenge that I'm going to give you today. Will you choose faith? Will you choose faith over fear? Faith over fear. Now, that's kind of a Christian cliche, so let me be really, really clear with what I mean by that. Here's what I don't mean. I don't mean that that's permission for all of us to just go and be stupid. Like, oh, we have some force field from God where COVID-19 won't infect us and infect others, so let's go out and sneeze on everyone and shake hands and hug our grandparents. Bad idea. Okay. Social distancing isn't a lack of faith. Social distancing doesn't have to be an act of fear. Social distancing can be a really, really clear and impactful way, compelling and effective way to love your neighbor. I'm trying to flatten the curve here, y'all. Okay, so maybe I could add to faith over fear this. Will you choose wisdom over foolishness? Because right now there's a lot of people who are being really, really foolish with their lives, but also foolish with the lives of their neighbors. Don't be foolish. Now, I also want to encourage you, though, to continue to practice faith. Be faithful during this time. You know what a hard time like this does? You know what the coronavirus has done? It has shattered any sense of self-sufficiency and self-autonomy that any of us had. One author wrote it like this once. He says, it takes a radical experience of losing all control to realize just how little control we have. And that's the truth. So here's the question. Which will you choose? Will you lean into fear and allow that to engulf you and ruin you? Or will you lean into faith and allow this moment to grow your trust that God, our great God, is in control? Now, I want to riff on that for just a second, all right? What does faithfulness look like? What does it look like to lean into God? What does it look like to walk faithfully in the midst of COVID-19? Where I want to give you five really, really practical ways that you can do that in your home this week. And this is where I really want you to take notes, y'all. All right, take your pen, take your pencil out, write this down, all right? And I want you to figure out practical ways to implement this in your life. This is your homework, all right? Here's the first one. Disciplines of disengagement. This is a practical way, that you can walk faithfully through this and lean into God through what I'm calling disciplines of disengagement. That is utilizing unanticipated margin to pray, study, and rest. Now, normally we live in a culture of overload, right? But right now we live in a culture of quarantine. So some of you have some unanticipated margin on your hands. You have time to do some of the things that you're constantly telling your pastors you don't have time for, like pray, like study, and like rest. So I want to challenge you to engage in those rhythms. And maybe you can build some habits so that on the other side of this, you're closer to God because of it. Again, if you want to pray, you can join our 24/7 prayer movement. If you want to study, maybe you heard it at the very beginning of the service. Starting this Wednesday night, we're going to start releasing study content for adults on Wednesdays and study content for your kids on Thursdays. So on Wednesday nights, adults, join us 8 p.m. We're going Facebook Live this Wednesday night. Me and one of our other pastors and a mental health professional from our church are going to talk through COVID-19 and mental health. You'll want to be there. Plus, we're going to release some content on how to be a better prayer and Bible reader. Then on Thursday nights, from preschool all the way to high school and everywhere in between, we're going to be releasing stuff for your kids. So engage in that with your kids and use this as a moment to disciple them. One of our strategies in family ministries here at Northeast is we want to turn parents into pastors. Like, we get them an hour every week, you get them the rest, right? So our best strategy to disciple your kids is to empower you. And right now we are empowering you to take your kids' faith into your hands. What an opportunity you have to do that. Here's a second practical piece of application. Second, I want you to practice defiant worship this week. What's defiant worship? Well, that's worshiping God anyways. Faced with uncertainty, faced with fear, faced with disappointment, faced with suffering, you choose to worship God from the valley anyways. You know, I miss y'all. I do. I miss y'all. One of the things I miss most about our weekend services together are those moments when we're singing and the congregation just takes leadership. Corbin steps back off the mic. We hit those certain lyrics during those certain songs, and the chorus of the saints just washes over everyone in the room. Almost always tears well up in my eyes because I'm like, this is heaven. This is what heaven's like. But here's what I found so interesting. A lot of times when the church takes over, it's those defiant worship lyrics. It's those lyrics where even when I'm broken, even when I'm in the valley, I'm going to worship you anyways, God. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is, in the highlands and the heart all the same. Don't you love that lyric? Don't you love those moments? Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. This week, let those choruses be your life song. You know what happens when we sing those words when we're in the valley? We start to believe them. We do. And God hears them, and I believe he's more glorified than ever. Because what we're saying to him is, God, I love you and I worship you because you're God, period. Not because of what you can give me, not because of my physical circumstances, not because of health, wealth, and prosperity. That's not the gospel I believe in. No, I worship you because of who you are and how you love me. It's pretty cool. Our worship team actually made for you a playlist of some of these defiant worship songs. You can find it on our Northeast Spotify. We've posted it on our social media pages. I've posted it on my social media pages. Go find it. Go make it the playlist of your life. Here's a third practical piece of advice for you. Spiritual conversations. I want to encourage you to take opportunities to share your hope during this time. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but it's during times of crisis and tragedy where people are oftentimes most open to have spiritual conversations. And it's not that hard. Some of you are freaking out like, how do I do? It's not that hard, okay? This is what we shared a few weeks ago. Just point to Jesus and your story. I once was, but now I'm. When I was, fill in the blank, Jesus helped me. Or today I'm a person who, and Jesus is why. Or here's a real good conversation starter. Just share some of the Love the Ville stuff our church is doing right now. And say, this is what it looks like to be the church, to follow Jesus. Share the hope, the peace, and the compassion you have in your heart right now because of what your church is doing. It's a powerful message. You'll be surprised who might engage with you. Now, while I'm on that hope note, I feel like I just have to offer this. Thousands of people are watching this weekend, and so I know that there are at least a few people who need to hear this invitation. Here's your practical step this week. I want to encourage you to totally surrender, to put your life completely into the hands of Jesus. As you saw with Savannah and Julie earlier, baptism is not canceled because hope is not canceled because love is not canceled. Death itself could not cancel the love of Jesus Christ. So would you consider just surrendering to him? I read this recently in a book. I thought it was really good. It's about the great mind and theologian Henry Nguyen. Author writes this. He says, brilliant scholar Henry Nguyen decided to learn the trapeze at an old age. The trapeze. In order to learn the art of surrender. There's probably no better metaphor for putting yourself into the hands of another than suspending yourself in midair, waiting to be caught. This metaphor became central to Nguyen's faith. at the end of his life, he actually took a sabbatical and gave serious effort to learn the trapeze from a troop of flyers. His key insight was that in order to be caught safely, the people being caught must be completely still. They must surrender control, placing their total trust in the catcher's ability. And for many of us, the author writes, that's the problem. We don't trust God's ability to catch us, to do what he says he will do. Say, are you anxious this week beyond imagination? I want to encourage you to surrender your life and future into the hands of Jesus. He will catch you. Are you confused and looking for answers this week? I want to encourage you to surrender your life into the hands of Jesus, and he will catch you. Are you disappointed? High school seniors, college athletes. I know we have a big group of athletes watching this right now. Are you disappointed? I don't blame you for a second. But your future is not ruined, and your identity is not crushed. I want to encourage you to surrender into the hands of Jesus, and he'll catch you. Are you back at church right now for the first time in a long time? Or maybe you're here with us right now and you've never really been to church before, but you need a little hope and one of your friends shared it and you saw the Love the Ville stuff and you're like, okay, I'm gonna check this church out this weekend. Whatever you feel in your heart right now, drawing you towards Jesus, that is his power. He's pursuing you even in this moment. And I wanna encourage you just to surrender in his hands and he will catch you. Or hey, maybe you're scared this week because you've had a confrontation with your own mortality. I've got good news for you. If you surrender yourself into the hands of Jesus, he will catch you. Total surrender. Total surrender. It may be the most important decision you've ever made. All right, last practical step, and this is where I want to end. And this is what you're best at, but these are the marching orders, Love the Ville Church. You want to know one of the best ways to live faithfully in a time of crisis like this? Breathtaking compassion. Let's go love our neighbors just like Jesus loved us. Come on, church. Okay, here's what I found. I found that hard times build your character down the road, later in life. But in the moment, hard times don't build your character nearly as much as they actually reveal your character. They reveal what's inside of you. And I love what's inside of our church, y'all. But here's my big worry. It's this thing called compassion fatigue. As this thing extends on, will we grow tired or bored? If this possibly gets worse, will we grow afraid and withdraw? Or will we reject those and step up and claim our moment? Claim it, church. This moment is ours. Make the call. Go get the groceries. Check on the neighbor. Say the prayer. Show the love. Don't wait for somebody to ask for your help. No, you see the need. You meet the need. You be on the prowl for proactive ways to love your neighbor just like the cross-shaped love of our Savior has been poured out for you. But don't wait on it. Go get it. It's our moment. We are the church. And here's what I can promise you. When the smoke clears and the dust settles and COVID-19 is finally over and in our rear view, people will remember that. People will remember love. They always do. People will remember the young man who brought them groceries. They'll remember the neighbor who checked in. They'll remember the friend who went out of their way to call and pray. They'll remember the church who fed them when they had nothing else to eat. People will remember love because real cross-shaped love is impossible to forget. History's proven that. So good God, we would never pray for this moment, but church, we were made for this moment. So let's unleash Jesus's love every day, everybody, everywhere. Go be the church. How great
the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. And who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? Down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. And beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever.
Jesus, yours is the victory. Hey, thank you so much for being here with us today. I hope you're walking away from today's message feeling both encouraged and challenged. I hope you're feeling challenged to go out and really share with other people where your hope comes from, that your hope comes from Jesus. I also hope you're feeling challenged to love the people around you the way that Jesus loved you. Hey, can't wait to see you as we continue to dig a little bit deeper, both this Wednesday as we dig into mental health and COVID-19 and what that's going to look like. And I also can't wait to see you right here online next weekend as we gather together again as a church family. For now, know that we love you. We really, really do. And we're praying for you every single day. As a church, we're here for you and we're right here in this with you. Now go love the Ville right where you are. Have a great week.